So let's get started. Welcome to this search session, step-by-step development in Search and Microsoft SharePoint. My name is Jan Inge Bergseth. I'm working out of Oslo in the Search Center of Excellence and has been working with Search for 13 years now. So in this session today, I'll be going through how you can crawl external content sources using the business connectivity model. Then I'll also create a web service, extensibility web service, as we can call from the document processing pipeline. I'll do some enrichment of the data in there, show you the code, show you how you configure it and use it. Then we'll do some customization to the UI. So, just a brief preview of what we will be doing. So this is the plain search center. Since I'm crawling an external content source, a line of business data source, my refiners isn't really matching up that good with the default refiners, so I'm actually just getting the modified date here. That's because I don't have the other metadata. Then, within the item template, it's not that rich, so I could for sure extend that with some custom properties. And the hover panel is really poor, nothing in there. So throughout the demonstration, we'll feed data, enrich it, and then we'll play around with the UI to extend the refiners. We will play around with and add this pie chart refiner, show you the code that's required for that and the configuration. Then we'll add the managed property and modify the template here to show these stars. These stars are ratings for the recipes. Then we'll extend the hover panel by doing a secondary query using the client-side object model to do a second query against the other recipes within this category that is highly rated. So the UI is what we end up with, but of course, first of all, we have to start with getting the data. I will be flashing a lot of code throughout this session, but don't worry. At the end, I have provided a page with some links to blog posts for all the code. So don't try to remember or write down. Everything is provided at the end of the session. So first of all, the architecture overview. I went through this in detail on Tuesday, so I'll just briefly mention some of the key components in here. So we have the crawler, the content processing, where we'll add this BCS crawler and extensibility. We have the index core now supporting in the cloud in an virtual environment. The query processing with the query rules and the federation framework, and then the web frontend that we will be playing around with. So I'll add the green boxes, the content enrichment web service, and the BCS connector. Then move over to the query frontend to do changes there on the web frontend. Okay, let's start with content enrichment. So I'm started with the web service, the content enrichment, because I need that before I'm starting the crawl. So this is a web service callout from the content processing pipeline. So I'm just configuring, or first of all, just writing the code. It's a regular web service, connecting it to my local ISS, and then calling out from the search service application, the content processing there. A few important parameters. These are all the parameters, actually. We have the endpoint, which is the URL for the web service. And then we have the properties, input and output properties. Important to remember, related to the input and output properties, that you can't use aliasing. It's possible now in 2013 to use aliases for your managed properties. Especially in Office 365, where we have a lot of tenants. But you can't use that related to the web service. Then I also want to mention the trigger. The trigger is there to determine if we're calling this web service or not. This means that you can have a web service, but you're not using it for all your sources, which is really, really useful if you have a lot of heavy processing in there and it's only targeted for one source. Okay, let's have a go through the demo related to this web service. So in my web service, I'll have some input properties related to an HTML table. I'll pull out the calorie count to create a new managed property. Or actually, I already have created the managed property. I just want to fill it with a value. So also important to remember, it's working on the managed properties. And you need to create these managed properties in advance. So, but I then will fill my managed property with a calorie count. It's not for recall, because by default, everything is searchable. But if I want to use it in a refiner or a sorting or something like that, then I need to pull it out in a managed property. Then I'll call out using the URL to get the ratings for my recipes. And finally, I'll also do some rejection of objects. When you're crawling with the BCS, you get this container object, which is pretty much just noise. So if you do the star search, they will show up. And I don't want that in my index, so I will reject those documents. Okay, so I'll start by starting Visual Studio in admin mode. This is because I'm publishing to my local ISS. So then I need the admin mode for that. I'll create a new project. And it's just a regular VCF project. So I'll just give it a random name. And then Visual Studio will create a project for you with some example files. So it's really easy to get going here. It's not a web service connected to SharePoint itself, so you don't get the default logging into the ULS logs. It's a standalone thing. So first of all, I don't need the example code. I have my own code, so I'll just delete that one. Then I need to add the reference to the DLL that I will implement. I've already done this on the computer before to practice my demo. So, and the location is within 15 search application external. There's only one DLL in there, so it's really easy to find it. Just add that DLL. Then instead of typing a lot of code, I'll add the code I already have written. Let's see if I can find it. Okay, so here's the code, and you can recognize, so this is the interface it's implementing. And you can recognize the input and output properties. So I'm pointing to what kind of properties that I want to work on. You can pretty much work on all the properties you have in your system, except with a few exceptions. As I mentioned, the security attribute is not something that you can modify. You cannot modify the body itself of the document, but you can use it as input if you want to do modification to the body and then create your own body field. So this is because there's a lot of functionality connected to the body field, so the R&D guys didn't dare to give us that freedom. So taking the properties, input properties, then I'm starting looping through my properties and I store the item number just in a local variable. Then I'm here's where I'm doing the lookup related to my URL to get the rating values. Then I'm parsing, calling a function, parsing the calories from my HTML table. And then further down here, I reject anything that doesn't have this item number. So first of all, I took out the item number. Those container objects that I talked about doesn't have an item number, so I just reject those numbers. Then I'm just adding the processed time to the code. So this is actually it. Nothing more than that. So do a quick build. And it worked. And then I'm ready to publish it to my local ISS. Just to see if I'm not doing any... So localhost, and then I need the site name, and I'm actually a terrible typer, so I'm not... And then the destination URL, and since I'm running this web service on the localhost, this is just one way of scaling, so I can have... For then on each host I'm running content processing, I can have my local ISS. There's multiple ways of doing a fault tolerance, so you can set up that. But if you have multiple content processing nodes, then on each of these nodes you have the web service. It's one way of doing fault tolerance model. And then the URL for and with the port. And validating the connection and publish. Okay, so then I get my web service up and running. And this URL at the top, that's the endpoint that we talked about, that I talked about in the presentation. The endpoint is then added to my PowerShell script here. And this PowerShell script is what I'm using to connect to the search service application. So the search service application is the container for the content processing. So adding the endpoint and then starting my configuration with the different input properties and output properties and the trigger. And as you can see, the trigger here is the if content source is recipes. So then only calling this web service if the content is coming from my recipe source. So let's try to run that. Oops. Okay, there you go. Okay, so there some small snag. But then you can see that it's connected to my search service application. And now it's ready to be used from content processing when I'm doing the crawl. Okay, let's switch back. So any questions, please take them. If they are complicated, we can take them after the session. But small questions, just raise your hands. If I can see it, I'll try to answer. Then moving over to the BCS content ingestion. So we have the crawler. I went through the different connectors, components, the different feature that has been added. Today, I'll put her into the BCS. So what is a business connectivity service? Well, first of all, many of you might just know it as a source that you use to display within SharePoint, so displaying external data, displaying database data, external lists within a SharePoint list. But you can also use it as a search source. That search source has several flavors. You have the no-code option, the configuration option, so using just old data or SQL Server. Or you can do the coding yourself using VCF or .NET. I'll do a VCF service because I just think that that's kind of cooler and that it's also showing a lot of the important aspects when you configure a connectivity service. So let's have a look at the different signals or different methods used by BCS. First of all, in a full crawl, we are using the finder method. The finder method is finding all the IDs within your source that you want to retrieve. Not all, I'll get back to that later. Then we use the specific finder for each of the IDs to return all the properties, all the metadata related to that specific ID. Then, if there is some binary data, we're using the stream accessor ID to get those binary data. Then, to implement incremental crawls, you need to implement the changed ID enumerator and delete ID enumerator. This is then used instead of the finder method in an incremental crawl mode. So, a couple of things which is important to remember related to using BCS as a crawl source. First of all, you get with Visual Studio, when you get an example project, it has some missing points or missing links or broken links or whatever you want to call it. So you need to make sure that you properly configure it and code it. You need to put in this property, show in search UI. If you don't do that, you won't get the possibility to configure and start your BCS source from the search service application UI. Then you also need to implement the stream accessor if you have binary data. If you don't, well, then you obviously don't need it. Then related to the external UI, the ID which is then given for your BCS connection source is just this BDC3 URL, which is not possible for the user to click on if you have a document that you want to open from the search source. So you need to modify that URL within your code. If you're not doing that, then the user won't be able to click on the documents it's retrieving. All other elements, all other properties from the crawl source, it's possible to do mapping with those within the content processing pipeline, mapping from crawl properties to managed properties, but not this URL, this ID. Then you need to plan for volume. Well, as I said, the finder method is retrieving all the IDs, which is really not useful at all. If you have 10, 20 million IDs, it won't work, it won't scale. So you need to implement batching. Then it will work. In addition, the finder method is actually retrieving all the properties for the objects, which is not useful at all in search, since we're only using the ID and then using the specific finder to retrieve the properties again. So make sure that the finder methods only return the ID. Then you can also control the crawl speed using the crawler impact rules from the UI. And then plan for changes. If you're not implementing the methods for incremental crawl, it will from the UI look like you're actually doing incremental crawls, but it's not. It's always doing a full crawl. So after a while, you're kind of wondering, why? Why is this incremental crawl taking the same time as my full crawl? And the reason is probably that you didn't implement the methods for incremental crawl. Okay. Let's switch to the demo again, and then look at how we can index BCS content. So in this demo, I'll start by importing the BCS model file. Then I'll do some configuration in the UI to set up the crawler source and start the crawl. The crawl takes approximately 2 to 3 minutes, about 2 minutes in startup time. And while it's starting up and crawling, I'll go through the code. So the very first thing I need to do is to start my web service that I'm crawling from. So starting that web service, then closing down this one. And then within central administration, find my BCS application and import the model file. So the model file is called recipes BDCM. I'll also hook off this permission, since I have permissions within the model file. And it's processing. And then it's connecting, checking the connection to my started web service. So if I didn't start the web service, it would fail. I got one warning. Get batch recipes does not have a limit filter, which is okay for search because I'm not using that anyway. Now the my model or the BCS is available to be configured as a crawl source, so I can see the different properties that I have defined in my model file here. So switching over to the search service application. So then I only have my local SharePoint site here, new source. And then what's really important now is that that you call this source the same name as you have from the definition within within this trigger. If it's if I type this wrong, then it won't trigger and it won't call my external web service. So really important to use the same exact same name as you use in the trigger for your content source. And then it's a line of business data, and then I will have all my different BCS connections down there. I only have one, so select that one and click OK. Then my BCS source is ready to crawl, and I'll start the full crawl. Okay, and while this is running, let's have a look at the code. Okay, so this is just a definition with of the different methods that I have implemented. The finder method called getBatchRecipes. So then to implement the batching, to be able to scale, I have a cookie and I have a boolean variable has more. Then the specific finder with the item number and the stream accessor with the item number. Then I also have these methods for incremental crawled. Below here I only have the definitions of the different crawl properties. Then within the code itself, let's scroll to the top. So the get batch recipes, so then the implementation over the batching. As I said, the code is provided in this blog post, so you can get an example code there. What's important to notice is that for the incremental crawl methods, and are also called from the full crawl methods. This in case something happens during full crawl, so you get proper logging. Then the model file. So first of all, I'm pointing to my web service where I retrieve the items. This is done in two different locations. Then I have defined this show in search UI, so I'm able to get it up in my search service application. Then I have the definition of the different methods, and then for the item number, only returning the item numbers, item number itself, not the full list. And then we have all the different methods down here. So let's see if I have used enough time, so if this is finished or not. Crawling full, so I'm ready for some questions.
Yep. Why does it take so long time to start the crawl?
Well, the crawler is it's a big beast, or in lack of better words. So it's using 2 minutes to do just an initial startup, checking all the databases, checking all the static status information before it actually starts retrieving content. So the initial startup time, I have no idea and no knowledge to what it's actually doing in those 2 minutes. But even if you just change one document, it uses 2 minutes. So one document or 100 documents, it uses about the same time. So in this case, I'm crawling 200 documents. So it should still be about 2 minutes. Thank you. That was enough questions. Okay, so now it's finished. So let's have a quick look at the crawl log. So I can see I crawled 200 documents and I have 2 errors. And this is expected. These are the 2 container objects that I was failing within my BCS, within my service, the extensibility service. So it kind of proves that my extensibility service is also working. And if I am lucky, I should now be able to do a search on calories. So since calories is now extracted as a separate managed property, I can do an exact search on that property. If it was just part of the body itself, I couldn't do this search. I could do the search for 400, but I wouldn't know if that was calories or whatever, 400. Okay, that concludes this demo, and back to the presentation. So, now to the fun part, or at least a different part. In 2010, to do customization of the UI, you were kind of stuck with the XSLT. Headaches, that's my word, and those of you in the audience that really knows XSLT and think that's cool, that's also okay, but for me it was really hard and I pretty much ended up doing nothing. So I was stuck with the default stuff. What's good news for me then at least is that the XSLT is gone. And now, instead, we're using HTML5 and JavaScript to then do all the fancy UI stuff. So it's, for me, much more accessible. Retrieving within the different display templates, retrieving the properties, and then using plain HTML JavaScript code to modify and get the look and feel and the functionality that you want. So in this example PowerPoint template, getting the file extension title, preview image and so on. This is a default display template. And also cool is that you can use any tool. R&D used Dreamweaver a lot as an example, just to show that they're thinking out of the box. I'm using Visual Studio, but you can also use VI, Notepad, whatever is your favorite tool. Another great thing, though, with the display template is that you can use it to render on any device. So within the device channel settings, different master pages, you can target different devices. So you can use the same display template and then use the master page and then target the different devices. If it's a touch device, if it's a phone, small touch device, or if it's a regular desktop usage. I got one question on my last session related to search UIs, if you can create different search UIs for different users and so on. And I think that if you're using device channels and those settings, it could be also possible to use the different master pages and the device channel settings to target different users with this functionality. Okay, so where do we have the different display templates? Basically everywhere. We have the control templates, controlling paging all the statistic information. Then we have the item templates, the different item templates. So within item templates here, it's not deemed to be only one. You can have different templates for different results that you retrieve, as we will see. And then you have the control and filter templates. And what do we do to actually use these templates? Well, one thing is just defining them, and then we need to tell the system when to use it, and that is what we are using result types for. So result types is a definition with some properties, some rules that you are using to point out when to use the different templates. So with a green apple example, so apples is like the everything is an apple, but then if you want to color one of them differently, you target a property and then use the display template to color it green. How do you create the display templates? Well, they are kept in the master page galleries. I think and I prefer to just copy an existing template, use that as a starting point. Has a lot of code, a lot of definitions, so it's just to use that one instead of starting from scratch. Then using your favorite editor, I'll use Visual Studio later on, and then I'll add my custom properties, add the managed properties that I want to display and work on, and then I'll do the mapping to result type. The bike is just an example. I like biking a lot, and so just imagine that you have this off-the-shelf bike and you want to create your own super bike of it, created strong, fast, light. You are using your favorite tools to replace all the parts, and then you want to map it to a result type that really deserves to use this bike. In my example, that would be the winner, represented by the Norwegian biker Tor Hustad. Hopefully not on EPO or something else in this case. So result type, same thing. Start from scratch or copy an existing one, set your criteria, and then map it to the display template. Okay, let's have a demo on that. So what I'll do is that I will use a default template, and I will include my rating. And I will show that rating using a JavaScript to show the rating as stars. I'll then create a result type targeting that specific result type, and then I'll do the mapping. So okay. So then I have my plain search center here, so nothing specific so far. So display templates are stored within master page gallery, which I find in search setting. I like to work with this in the explorer mode, so I think that just makes it easier. Then display templates. And then here I have search templates and I have filter templates. So within search templates, and you can see I have both HTML and JavaScript files in here. What you are working on is the HTML files. And then when you save it, it's automatically compiling a JavaScript for you. You need the enterprise version of the product to do this, or the enterprise search center to do this. If you're not using the enterprise search center, you only get access to the JavaScript file, and that's not that useful in this case. So I'll take the item default. Copy that one. And rename it. To item recipe. Then I'll open this in Visual Studio. First of all, what I need to do is to change the title. The title is what I will find when I'm doing the mapping, so I need something that I can find it by, so I'm giving it a title. So recipe. Then I have my manage property mappings here, I need to include my custom managed property, so I'll go to the end of this one. And to prevent my buggy typing, I created some snippets. So just including the different properties. So including the managed property recipe rating. This is the name or that I'm using within my script, and this, the second one, is the actual name of the property. So you can use different names if you want to. Then I'll include a script to convert my number 1 to 5, the rating, to stars. So this is calling the script. I have just stored my script within the same folder. So you can put it wherever you want, and then including this script with the script tag and include script. You can, of course, just write your JavaScript directly into the HTML code, but I think for debugging, it's easier to have external scripts and include them, especially if your scripts get really large. The star rating script, it's no magic, just taking the rating and creating stars using images for that. And then I'll add it to my code. So now I have the value and just need to find where in my template I want to display this. So you can see that I have the rendering of the body, and after this I'll include rendering of my stars. Then using the div tag and then this notation to open up for JavaScript, and then calling my JavaScript function that I had within the star rating. And then this is pointing to the managed property. You can then save this file, go back to search or to this one. And if I do the search now, I'll still not have the stars, and this is because I haven't done the result type and the mapping. So go back to site setting and then find result types, and I'll add a new result type. Oops. Then you define the different conditions or the rules when this result type should trigger. So you have different options here. I'll trigger based on the path. So whenever my path starts with any of... I'll just do a copy of that one. Starts with any of contorsofoods.com. Then, if I'm lucky now, I should have the recipe item in there, and I do. So then, pointing to the display template, so connecting my result type and the display template, and then click on optimized for frequent use. Save that one, and back to search. The search again, and I have my stars. Okay, so really easy and actually really cool. It takes a couple of seconds. It's a timer job doing some refreshes in there. So I was lucky now, but sometimes I have to do a couple of refreshes before I actually get my stars to show up. So if you have problems with that and your stuff showing up, it could just be the timer jobs that hasn't finished. Okay, so that concludes this demo. So just a quick wrap up. preferring to do the external coding, the JavaScript coding within separate scripts, including those, and then doing the mapping, including the managed property, and then doing the result, the definition of the result type, and then connecting it all together. Okay, jQuery. So opening up a whole new world of possibilities within your search UI. jQuery is kind of big, so it needs some special attention. I'll get back to that. But what's really cool about jQuery is that you can include a lot of code written out there. So you can reuse, you can use the jQuery experts out there to include cool stuff within your search UI. To load the scripts, you can do it the simple and easy way using the script tag and include script, as I did. That's done asynchronously, so not really scaling, not a proper way of doing it if you have heavy scripts. So then using SharePoint on demand, loading it with that function, and then putting in some dependencies, it's a much better way of doing it. But in a real production environment, you should probably add it to your master page to be sure that the scripts are loaded before anyone's tried to use it. So, back to demo mode. Now we'll go from this more simple recipe category listing to use a graphical pie chart to display this refiner. So I don't even have recipes categories in here. So that's because it's a custom managed property from my BCS source. I'll start by locating the filters, and I'll find my default filter, use that as an entry point, so copy that one. And I'll rename it to filter pie chart. Again, opening it up in Visual Studio. And again, the title is used when I want to choose the refiner later on in the UI. So I need to modify that. Just adding pie chart. Then I'll include my scripts. So there's no managed property magic in this template. Just include my scripts. So you can see here that I'm using SharePoint on demand and also using the dependencies to making sure that the different scripts are loaded before it's used. Then I'm also including a CSS, the style sheet, just the default style sheet for this JQ plot. Then the default refiner contains a lot of code. So one example here is so you can see that it's used to group together different properties. So grouping together different PPT, PPTX, PPTM, and so forth into PowerPoints. I'm not using that code in this in the pie chart, but I'm just leaving it. Then I need to remove some code. So a lot of stuff in here. Delete that one. And insert my code. So inserting the pie chart code, so the height of the pie chart, the height of the pie, and then for each of the each listings in the pie, I'm adding some values, adding 20 points there. And then calling my pie chart code there. So let's save that one and switch to the UI. Now I'm choosing edit page and edit the pie chart refiner. So for those of you that know the 2010 version of this, this should be it's really cool. It's, then you have to fiddle around with the XML. Now it's just a point and click. Let's see if we can find the recipe categories and add that one and move it up. And as you can see, I already get the sample values. And if I'm lucky now, I should find my pie chart there. And click OK. Applying it. OK. And save. Oops, sorry, something went wrong. Well, I won't spend debugging time here, but I'll show you the finished product when how it should look like. You kind of get the idea. Okay, so that concludes that pie chart demo. So using jQuery and jQplot to include large scripts, so then the sky is the limit related to what you can include into your code to make cool graphical designs. Then, to my favorite here is the using the client object model in display template. So within SharePoint 2013, we have this JavaScript-based client object model. And that could be used to enrich and really create rich user experiment inside the code. So you can do the initial queries, get your initial listings, and then within the hover card, not to flood and tire down your infrastructure with too many queries initially, doing one query initially, but then within the hover card, when people are actually looking at the search results, then you can do additional queries using this client-based object model. And that could be then federating to external sources. You can include Yammer search, so if you want some more social content into your hover panel. Or it could be just searching against your own index, as I will do in this case. So I'll load the script using SharePoint on demand again, create a keyword query object, and then create this search executor, so running the search. And then use a jQuery to display it. So going from the plane to a bit richer hover panel, including top-rated dinner recipes for this recipe. So it's an item-to-item thing. So also then could be used if you have item-to-item recommendations. It's also just another example. Okay, so then let's start by switching back to the search templates. So I'll find the default hover panel. Mm-hmm. There you go. And I'll copy that one. And I rename it to item recipe hover panel. And open it in Visual Studio. So then I want from my item recipe, I want to use this hover panel. And then the first thing I need to do within the item recipe template, I need to then replace the default with the recipe hover panel. And then I will also include the script that I'm using there. So I'm loading my script within the item template, making sure that's already loaded before I'm using it within the hover panel. So then including recipe search. Recipe search is the setting up the actual query. So I'm setting up my query. I'm disabling query rules. The reason I'm doing that in this case is for performance, since I'm running the query within my hover panel. So you can of course run it with query rules, but if you have a lot of query rules, it might be a little bit slow. Then I'm clearing all the properties and adding only the properties that I want to return for this search. And also clearing my sorting, the ranking, and adding recipe rating. So meaning I only want to sort by recipes with the highest recipes first. So I could use the default ranking, but in this case I want some specific ranking, so sorting by recipes. Then executing the query. Another trick is that, or another feature or bug, or whatever we call it, is that I need to just add a content, a property within my managed property. This is to be sure that I can refresh my result source in the UI. So, then I'm done with the item. Yep, thank you. Thank you. Oops, thank you again. Should be a colon there. Okay now? Great. Live debugging or live compiling. Then I'm ready to do some changes within the item recipe hover panel. This title is, however, not used, so I don't need to do any changes. The reason why it's not used because I'm referring to the actual code name from the item display template. So I don't need to do anything with the name in this case. I, however, need to add my manage property. So the managed property that I will use within the query. So including the recipe rating property there. And then I'll include the reference to the code where I want to display it within my hover panel. So you can see that the hover panel has a header, a body, and a footer. So whatever location. You can also do changes to the header and footer and body itself going into the code for that. So let's include my call to so I know it's this is flashing a lot of code, and again though it's all referenced at the blog post. So to really learn this stuff, working with it, playing with it, it's much better than just watching it. But I hope I just give you some ideas related to what to do and where to use it. Okay, so then I'm ready to save this and switch to the UI part. Then I need to do a refresh of my result source, result type, I mean. So click on the update link there. So if I hadn't added this content source property that I was struggling with writing, then I wouldn't get that update link for some reason. As again, I don't know if it's a feature or bug or whatever it is. Then let's switch back to search. And I do a reload of the page. Okay, there I got the pie chart, and here I got the stars. In addition, I also included modified in advance the rest of the template to provide a more rich experience within the hover panels, actually providing the recipe itself and all the values. So this is some brief example on what you can do to create a really nice, beautiful looking search experience based on a little bit coding and configuration within the display templates. Okay, so let's switch back to the demo presentation. So the take-home resources that I promised. So the blog post related to the BCS, aka.ms, or the short version of the URL, related to the extensibility web service. It's a default a Microsoft link, but it has all the elements that I talked about today. So everything is in there. Then a colleague of us, Murad, wrote a blog post related to the UI and all the magic in there. And if there is any questions, you could for sure just email him or me and we'll help you out. Then a general survival guide related to search, and my personal favorite, the relevance. Because what's a beautiful looking search experience if the relevance is poor? Well, then it's not anything, or at least not useful. So relevance, it's also something that I didn't have time to go in today, but if you have any questions, come see me at Ask the Experts, and I'll be happy to discuss and answer that later on. Then questions, but before we go to questions, remember to fill out evals. And I know my native tongue is not English, so if there is anything you want to refresh on because you didn't understand it, that's okay, but don't write too many comments on the English in the evals. Okay, questions? Okay, then this concludes the session. Thank you very much.